Welcome back. Last time, in episode 3, we connected virtual networks together with peering and we learned one crucial catch. Peering is not transitive. If network A is peered with network B, and B is peered with C, that does not mean A can talk to C. Each link is its own private, direct connection. Today we go one level deeper. We stop asking how networks are connected, and we start asking a different question. When a packet leaves a subnet, how does Azure actually decide where to send it? That is routing, and it is the quiet engine running under everything you build. Here's the key idea to hold on to for the whole episode. Every subnet in Azure already has a working routing table before you touch anything. Azure builds it for you, invisibly. That is why subnets can talk to each other, why peered networks work, and why traffic reaches the internet, all with zero configuration. It is wonderfully convenient. But that convenience is also the trap. The moment you add a firewall, a VPN gateway, or a hub and spoke design, those automatic default routes are suddenly wrong for what you actually want, and traffic will quietly flow straight to the internet, or straight between your spokes, without ever being inspected. Understanding routing is the difference between a security control that works, and one that is silently bypassed. Let's start with what Azure builds for you. These are called system routes, and Azure creates them automatically for every subnet. You cannot create them, and you cannot delete them, but you can override some of them, and we will get to how. Each route is really just two things. An address prefix, which is a range of addresses, and a next hop type, which says where to send matching traffic. Azure looks at where a packet is going, finds the route whose prefix matches, and forwards it to that route's next hop. So what are the default system routes on a brand new subnet? There are three next hop types that always show up. First, there is virtual network. This route covers your network's own address ranges, and it is exactly why subnets talk to each other with no setup at all. Second, there is internet. This is the catch-all, written as the default route, 0.0.0.0/0. Anything not matched by a more specific route heads to the internet. And there is an important exception here. Traffic destined for the public address of an Azure service stays on the Microsoft backbone. It never actually touches the public internet. Third, there is none. A route with a next hop of none means the packet is simply dropped. Azure adds four of these dropped routes, one for each reserved private range. The three classic private ranges, 10.0.0.0/8, 172.16/12, and 192.168/16, plus one shared range, 100.64/10. They are dropped so that traffic to unused private addresses is discarded rather than leaked out to the internet. Now, a nice nuance. If you assign one of those private ranges to your own network's address space, Azure quietly changes that route's next hop from none to virtual network. The address is now yours to use, so it becomes routable inside your network. A little memory hook for this. Think V, I, N, times 4. Virtual network, internet, and none, with none appearing four times for those dropped private prefixes. There are also optional system routes, and these only appear when you switch on a feature. Turn on peering, and Azure adds routes for the peer network's ranges, with a next hop type of virtual network peering. Add a virtual network gateway, and Azure adds routes for the prefixes your on-premises network advertises, using the gateway as the next hop. Enable a service endpoint, and Azure adds routes to that service, but only on the subnet where you enabled it. You cannot handpick the peering or service endpoint next hop types yourself. Azure creates those only when you genuinely configure the feature. Now, why does the selection logic matter so much? Because Azure runs two rules. In order, and if you know them, routing stops being mysterious. Rule 1 is longest prefix match. Among every route whose prefix contains your destination, the one with the longest, most specific prefix wins. Picture a table with both 10.0.0.0/24 and 10.0.0.0/16. A packet headed for 10.0.0.5 matches both, but the /24 is more specific, so it wins. A packet headed for 10.0.1.5 is not inside the /24, so the /16 becomes the longest match. More specific always beats more general. Rule 2 only kicks in on a tie. When two routes share the exact same prefix, then Azure picks by source, and the priority order is worth memorizing. A user-defined route wins first, then a BGP route, then a system route, which is lowest priority. So a user-defined route for the default route, 0.0.0.0/0, pointing at a virtual network gateway, beats the built-in default route to the internet. Same prefix, higher priority user-defined wins. There is one exception to keep in your back pocket. The system routes for virtual network, peering, and service endpoint traffic are treated as preferred. They win even over a more specific BGP route, and a service endpoint route cannot be overridden by a route table at all. Let me make this concrete. Imagine a subnet with four routes, a default virtual network route for 10.0.0.0/16. A user route for 10.0.0.0/24, pointing at an appliance at 10.0.100.4. The default internet route on 0.0.0.0/0. And a user route, also on 0.0.0.0/0, pointing at that same appliance. Now trace three destinations. Traffic to 10.0.0.20 matches both the /16 and the /24. Longest prefix wins, so it goes to the appliance. Traffic to 10.0.5.20 is inside the /16, but not the /24, so the /16 wins and it stays inside the network. And traffic to a public address like 20.30.40.50 matches no specific prefix, so both default routes tie, and the user route beats the system internet route. Egress goes to the appliance. Reasoning it out loud like that is exactly how you should approach these on the exam. So how do you actually create your own routes? You build a route table, then you associate it to your subnets. A few rules to memorize. A subnet can have zero or one route table, never more. One route table can be attached to many subnets, but only within the same region and the same subscription. And tables attach to subnets, not to whole networks. Your custom routes get combined with the subnet's defaults. And on any conflict, the user-defined route wins. A table holds up to 400 routes by default, expandable to 1,000 with Azure Virtual Network Manager. And you cannot delete a route table while it is still attached to a subnet. You dissociate first, which returns the subnet to its defaults. When you add a route, you give it a name, an address prefix, and a next hop type. The types you're allowed to set are virtual appliance, virtual network gateway, virtual network, internet, and none. Notice peering and service endpoint are not in that list. The workhorse is virtual appliance, which is a virtual machine running a firewall or router, what we call a network virtual appliance, or NVA. Two requirements make it work. You supply the appliance's private address as the next hop, and it needs direct connectivity, or the route is invalid. And critically, the appliance's network interface must have IP forwarding enabled, which turns off the source and destination checks. Without that, the appliance just drops the transit packets. Now, why would you force traffic through an appliance? This is the pattern called forced tunneling. Imagine you need every packet leaving a subnet to be inspected by a firewall. You write one user-defined route. The default route, 0.0.0.0/0, next hop your firewall appliance. That single route overrides the built-in path to the internet and funnels everything through your firewall. But you also want traffic within the subnet itself to stay local, so you add a route for the subnet's own range, say 10.0.0.0/24, next hop virtual network. Because that is a longer prefix than the default route, intra-subnet traffic matches it first and never hairpins through the firewall. Two practical warnings. Put the appliance in a different subnet than the workloads you're routing, or you create a routing loop where traffic never leaves. And never attach a route table with a default route to the gateway subnet, because it can break your VPN gateway. This whole design, by the way, is service chaining, the pattern that lets a central hub firewall inspect all your spoke traffic. One common trap comes from BGP and route propagation. When your on-premises network exchanges routes with an Azure gateway over BGP, Azure adds those routes to all subnets. You can also disable gateway route propagation as a property on a route table, which stops both static and BGP gateway routes from being added. That is handy in hub and spoke when you want spokes to reach on-premises only through a default route pointing at the hub firewall. but never disable propagation on the gateway subnet itself, or the gateway stops working. Here is a scenario that catches people out. You add your forced tunneling route, and suddenly users report that on-premises apps, reached via the VPN gateway, are unreachable, even though internet browsing still works through the firewall. What happened? Your default route is now the longest match for the on-premises destinations too, so that traffic is being sent to the firewall instead of the gateway, and if the firewall has no path back to on-premises, it is black-holed. The fix is to add a more specific user-defined route for the on-premises range, say 10.10.0.0/16, with NextHop Virtual Network Gateway. Being a longer prefix than the default route, it gets selected first, and you verify it with a tool called Network Watcher. That brings us to diagnosing routes, and there are two tools you must know. First, effective routes, viewed per network interface. This is the ground truth, the real combination of your tables, the Azure defaults, and any BGP routes. When you want to know which routes actually apply to a machine, this is where you look. Second, Network Watcher, NextHop. You give it a source machine and a destination address, and it tells you the next hop type, the address, and the route table that decided it. If it comes back as none, the traffic is being dropped, which is a strong signal of a missing or misconfigured route. Quick recap before we move on. Azure gives every subnet system routes for free, virtual network, internet, and none. Selection is longest prefix match first, then user-defined beats BGP beats system. A user-defined route lives in a route table attached to subnets, and forced tunneling means pointing the default route at an appliance, remembering to enable IP forwarding, and to keep that appliance in its own subnet. Routing decides where a packet may go. Next time we control something different, whether a packet is allowed at all. In episode 5 we dig into network security groups and application security groups. The stateful rules that filter traffic by its 5-tuple, right down at the subnet and the interface. I'll see you there.